Dean, when I heard about Jonathan Majors getting arrested, I was thinking, didn't Dean Richards just interview this guy?
Yes, I did. And, you know, let that be a lesson to any of you thinking of letting me interview you, because only bad things can happen after
apparently,
that.
Apparently, yeah.
Well, according, Jonathan Majors is he's the bad guy in the new Ant-Man movie, Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. He is the co-star, along with Michael B. Jordan, in Creed III. He is one of the most up-and-coming actors of the year. And Saturday night, he was arrested in New York City and charged with strangulation, assault, and harassment in what police are calling a domestic dispute. A 30-year-old woman is the victim. She was taken to the hospital, suffering minor injuries to her head and neck. The 33-year-old actor was taken into custody without incident. But over the weekend now, yesterday, Jonathan Majors' lawyer says that there is evidence showing that he is entirely innocent and that they expect that the DA will drop these charges very soon. Meanwhile, Jonathan Majors had done a couple of commercials for the U.S. Army, and the Army dropped those ads pending what's going to happen with this case. So he's accused of the domestic dispute. He is denying it, so we'll see how it shakes out.
Anybody go to see his movie over the weekend?
Not as many as went to see John Wick, Chapter 4. Creed 3, though, is still hanging in there this week. After all of these weeks, the film is the number 2 movie at the box office, followed by Shazam! Fury of the Gods, which dropped from number 1 all the way down to number 3. Scream 6 is number 4. And the movie called 65 is the number 5 movie of the week.
Let's talk about Jeremy Renner and his recovery. Did I hear correctly that he broke something like 30 bones in this accident?
Yeah, that was the accident that we talked about around the beginning of the year where he was at his home in Lake Tahoe. They had just had all kinds of snow. And the snowplow that he has is not like the snowplow that most of us have, where, you just stand behind it and push. This was one that you get in. This is like the ones that the city uses to clear the streets, a big, gigantic snowplow. And it tipped over on a snowbank onto Jeremy Renner and broke 30 of his bones. He was sent immediately to the hospital, where he's been, by the way, with a recovery, recovering from chest trauma and all the orthopedic injuries. But he posted a video on Instagram over the weekend. It's worth taking a look at because it's kind of fascinating. It's him walking, but it's him walking with the help of an anti-gravity treadmill, which I'd never even heard of before, where you do the walking motion, the back and forth with your legs. But the machine counterbalances your body weight, so you don't have the extra stress of your body weight while you're strengthening your leg muscles. And it's
a lot of athletes use that machine.
Amazing! I have to get one of those.
Right. Everybody should have one.
Everybody should have an anti-gravity treadmill. But his recovery is going well. He's doing well. And it made me happy to see that video that he's, back on the path of getting better.
Also in the happy news category this morning, Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah, it's going to be a dad. Harry Potter is going to be a father. His girlfriend of 10 years, and he confirmed over the weekend that they are expecting a child. They have not announced a due date or any of the details yet, but they did confirm that it's going to happen. I remember an interview from, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe something. Daniel Radcliffe was asked, would you ever like to have children? And he said he would. But he also added that if he ever had a child, he would definitely not want that child to go into acting. That's very difficult for children, especially to be in acting. I remember interviewing him when he was about 10 or 11 years old when the first Harry Potter movie came out. And he was very charming and, you know, very articulate and, you know, all that. But there were, you know, the world's attention was on this poor kid. So he and all the other Harry Potter kids, I have to say, have all turned out to be wonderful adults. So they and their parents have all handled it beautifully. I always admire when I interview a child star. Almost all of them have their parents right there while the interview is going on. Quite a few of them don't, and they just leave their child, you know, out to the wolves, for anything to happen. And the Harry Potter people's parents were always just a few feet away.
Not too many of those kids escape childhood acting sanely, do they?
Yeah.
It's rough.
It's very difficult.
Talking entertainment news with Dean Richards, this makeover Dwayne Johnson had was a bit unusual, wasn't it?
Yeah, this is one you need to go on YouTube or Instagram to take a look at. Dwayne The Rock Johnson always posts photos and videos of his little girls. He's got a four-year-old and a seven-year-old little girl. And yesterday he posted a video of the girls giving dad a makeover. So, you know, here's Dwayne The Rock Johnson sitting there as the girls were putting a lipstick on him. Not on his lips, though, but all over his bald head, completely covering his head with a neon red tinted lipstick. They painted a twirly mustache on him and a unibrow, and he sat there and let them do whatever they wanted to do. He captioned the video with, in a few years, these girls aren't going to want to have anything to do with me. So I said, go for it. Daddy is in. So that's a pretty good dad right there.
Yeah, I'll say.
And then he also added that it took an hour to scrub off the lipstick, that he had no idea that it stained the way that it did.
He's a good guy.
He is more than a good guy.
Yeah. Let's talk about Bill Zamy. Sad news yesterday about someone who never really lost his Chicago Midwestern sensibilities, even though he hobnobbed with the rich and famous.
Yeah, he sure did. I mean, there was a time when the who's who only talked to Bill Zamy, you know, while all the rest of us were, you know, struggling to get celebrity interviews. Bill Zamy, was able to get interviews that no one else could get, and when he did, he just turned out the best interviews, and was able to get the best information out of his interview subjects that no one else could get. I admired him so much for all of that, and he talked to everybody. He was one of the very few people. Certainly in his recent years, his later years, Frank Sinatra wrote a book on Frank Sinatra, The Way You Wear Your Hat. He was the only person to get a post Tonight Show interview with Johnny Carson and spend some time with him. He wrote books on a great book on the comedian Andy Kaufman. He collaborated on a bio about Jay Leno and Regis Philbin. He wrote pieces about David Letterman for all of the major publications, for Rolling Stone magazine, for Playboy, for Vanity Fair, for Esquire. I used to read him all the time in Esquire. Locally, he wrote for Chicago Magazine. He did pieces for the Chicago Tribune. In fact, he wrote this Sunday magazine article about Bob Bell retiring as Bozo back in 1984, which is tremendous. Bill was a Southsider. I had known Bill, you know, professionally for years, and got to know him a little better, I would say, over the last 10 years, say. We were having dinner one night, And, you know, we were just talking about where we grew up. And it turns out that Bill and I grew up one block away from each other as kids.
Wow.
We never knew each other. You know, I thought I knew every kid within a five-mile radius. You know, back in the day, you thought you knew that. But we didn't know each other back then. But ever since then, he would always call me Colfax. I would always call him Kingston. Those were the streets that we lived on. Hey, Kingston, what are you doing? You want to go grab some dinner? Hey, back and forth. You know, he just had this great, just the essence of Chicago about him. It was about 10 years ago that he was diagnosed with stage 4 colorectal cancer, which he was able to control. He went through regimens of chemo and radiation and the full treatment. He was in the hospital for a very, very, very long time and was very open in talking about it. He wrote a piece in Chicago Magazine about his fight with cancer. He was working on another book on Johnny Carson. You know, because he got that final interview, which turned into a magazine, a fantastic magazine piece. But he had signed a deal to write another book about Carson and to develop a television miniseries about Carson. But that's when the cancer hit. But one of his favorite subjects, you wanted to get him going, talk about Johnny Carson.
You know what's interesting about the show, and I'm just going to say, it's an adult show. And if you're watching it now and you're flipping over from Kimmel or Fallon or whatever, these shows have now become the loudest. You know, somehow they decided, the networks, that we want to be pumped up as much as possible and have jolts of caffeine before we go to bed. Whereas if you're watching what you guys did, this is adult. They're sitting around, they're drinking, they're smoking. Yes, that even happened. And they're talking about things as people, and they're sharing stories. And Johnny tells most of his own autobiography on the air.
Yeah, he was on a panel at the Museum of Broadcast Communication with Doc Severinsen and Tom Dreesen and Johnny Carson's nephew. And he appeared with us many times on the WGN-TV Morning News. The last time was in 2016, where he was openly talking about his battle with cancer.
You know, this is a very difficult subject. I had stage 4 cancer, and they've blown it away. But I wrote about it for the first time, which was very difficult to do because it's not exactly the kind of thing I've been writing about. I write about deathbed scenes for, you know, other people, yeah. But I didn't realize I would be in one for the better part of a summer in 2014. But 5 months I was in St. Joseph's Hospital presence over here.
Five
months, 118 days during chemo, and you know, I had a lot of chemo before and after that epic stay in the hospital. And you just kind of you're regrouped in a way that it's still strange. I don't quite feel like I'm the same guy, except I know I'm the same guy.
Yeah, I'm happy he's no longer battling this cancer, but I sure will miss him. He's just one of the best guys I've ever met in my whole life. There will be a memorial for him that has not yet been announced.
You know, when he was diagnosed, he was given like a 14% chance to live 5 years, and that was more than 10 years ago.
Yep.
And whenever he'd be able to go out and have dinners occasionally during this time, and I'd always come back from those dinners and say to my wife, he's got such a great attitude. If I ever complain about anything,
yep.
You know, just, you know, throw me out of the house, because yep. He was such an inspiration
yep.
In recent years and through his entire career.
Yeah, he wanted to live his life. He didn't want to be a sick person. He wanted to live his life as fully as he was physically able to mm-hmm. do.
Yep. And, yeah, even though this was expected, it still was a real jolt yep. to those yep. of us who knew him. And loved him.
Yep.
Dean, thank you. We'll talk tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.